Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Thank you, worship team. That was awesome to worship together today. Hey, my name's Nick, and I'm so glad you're here today. Those of you joining us online, thank you for joining us online. We're going to be starting a new series today. It's a four-part series in looking at the Holy Spirit. And you can follow along in your Bible apps if you have the YouVersion Bible app. If you go to More on the bottom right corner and then Events, you can find you can follow along with the notes in your Bible app, or you can just use the old paper. So you know, when I say that we're going through a series on the Holy Spirit, I know there's a lot of differences on how people view the Holy Spirit, right? So for the Baptists in the room, you just got a little nervous. For the Charismatics, you just got excited. And the Catholics and Lutherans, you're probably looking for the exit signs. That's okay. We are definitely a mixed bag of nuts here at WCC. But what I want us to see is that we do have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's available to us. And so I can relate with just the different understandings of the Holy Spirit, and just with my church background. You know, I grew up in an old country Baptist church as a kid. And I don't know how to put this, but it was very boring, and it felt not alive. Now, not because the median age was like 80, but it was more because, it was just very monotone. Everything was just right here. You know, nothing got too exciting. The pastor would lead worship, very monotone with an out-of-tune piano. And the most exciting thing that happened at church was when the puppeteer ministry came to town. I mean, whoa, that was exciting. But, you know, what I will say, even though it didn't seem like, you know, exciting or spirit-filled, there were some faithful believers in that church that invested in me. I remember the piano player, she gave me my first guitar when I was 10. And then there was a 95-year-old banjo player who gave me lessons who could not hear. So, yeah, that explains a lot. But, when we fast forward to when I was about eighth grade going into high school, through a lot of different circumstances, I had bounced around from family to family and was basically couch surfing because of some dysfunction happening in my own family and the brokenness there. And I was staying with a friend, and his family invited me to stay with him for like 8 months. And they took me to their church. And it was Assemblies of God. If you know anything about AOG, it's a little bit more lively. And, short of swinging from the chandeliers, it was very excitable, is all I can say. And so I remember going into the service and just sitting back and just chuckling, like, what is happening here? People are running up and down the aisles and speaking in different languages that I didn't think were languages. And the pastor would say, the Holy Spirit's going to fall. And then something happened and people got even crazier and more excited. And I thought, okay, if the Baptist church is like, If heaven is like the Baptist church, then I hope they have good food. But if heaven is like the Charismatic church, then I don't know, hopefully you get to sign a waiver or something. But it was very exciting, and maybe that's you. Your experience is all over the map. Maybe when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you don't even know what category to put the Holy Spirit in. Maybe you've had a bad experience, or maybe you've seen the abuse or exaggeration of what was the Holy Spirit. Or you see the lack of the Holy Spirit and you wonder, why isn't there more? And so wherever you find yourself on that continuum and that gamut there, hopefully during this series, you get a biblical understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, what he does in our lives, and how he's moving throughout the world and in the church. And you're going to hear from four different teachers from the teaching team, and so looking at the Holy Spirit from different angles. And so one thing I do know, and I don't think this is an overstatement, is that I feel like in the American Western church, we've done a really good job of being highly produced, very consumer-minded, and we focus a lot on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scriptures. And we forget, oh, there's this third person of the Trinity. And so what happens with the Holy Spirit is we can kind of compartmentalize him. And he's like the friend that you invite to the party that you feel like you should probably invite to the party because he's a part of the friend group, but then you're not sure what to do with him because he makes you a little nervous. And you're like, so you give him a snack and have him sit over in the corner and say, we'll take it from here. But really, what I want us to see is the Holy Spirit should be the host of the party, and Jesus is the main guest. And we'll see in this series that the Holy Spirit is God just as much as the Son and the Father. And so I think the church has really, there's this neglect that's happened when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I don't say that in a broad stroke, but I think there's something to do with that. And Francis Chan, in a book that really was impactful for me a few years ago, he wrote in his book, Forgotten God, it says, he makes the case for the lack of acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit in the church today. And he says, if I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get the churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. The degree to which this has happened, and I would argue that it is a prolific disease in the body of Christ, is directly connected to the dissatisfaction most of us feel with and in the church. We understand something very important is missing, and I believe that something missing is actually a missing someone, namely the Holy Spirit. When believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. Right? That is the difference between what we are doing here today and a social club. When you think about the power of the Holy Spirit working in the church, we are distinct from the rest of the world. But the enemy would like us to believe that we don't need the Holy Spirit. We can do this all in our own strength. And he just lulls us back to sleep and tells us to ignore the war that's happening outside. And so I'm pleading with you today to wake up and realize that we desperately need the Holy Spirit in our lives, working and moving in power. In Exodus 33, there's a situation that Moses and the Israelites find themselves in, where God says, you are a stiff-necked people because you keep being disobedient. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear from God that I'm a stiff-necked person. But what happens is God says, I'll let you go into the promised land. You can go into the promised land, but my presence will not go with you. Remember the fire by night, the cloud by day? My presence will not go with you. And Moses pleads with God for his spirit. And the people plead. And he says in Exodus 33:16, is it not your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Is it not your going with us that makes us distinct? Is it not your presence with us that makes us different than the rest of the world? The church should be distinct from the rest of the world because God's presence is with us and in us. And I hope that during this series you see just how important it is to have the Holy Spirit alive and moving in your life. And there's going to be a resource available later on in the series where you can do even more in-depth study, because I'm just doing high level here today, okay? And this series is more high level, and you can go more in-depth with this. But today, what I want us to look at is, who is the Holy Spirit? And point one, the Holy Spirit is God. It's not this mysterious it that we just try and usher in, but it is the person of God. It's a he, not an it. The Holy Spirit is fully God. And so I'm going to try and explain the complex doctrine of the Trinity with my little understanding that I have of the Trinity. But basically, God is one in three persons. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, there's this assumption that happens that just like Jesus shows up from the Virgin Mary sometime 2,000 years ago, that somewhere along the way, the Holy Spirit also shows up. But we see in Scripture that is not true. The Holy Spirit and God the Son were there from the beginning of time in a triune relationship with the Godhead. Now, if you go into Genesis 1, in the first few sentences of the Bible, you see in verse 2, "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." Now, something to note in your Bibles is, when you see a capital S in your Bible, that's referring to God. When you see a lowercase s, that's referring to either a spirit in you or a spirit in the world. In Genesis 1:26, we see that, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us," plural. "They will reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We see the plural creation, reflecting God's image in relationship of the Trinity. He creates in relationship with each other, male and female. And you can also look at Revelation, it says that Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the earth. In John, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and moved into the hood. That's the Message version of that. That's talking about Jesus in the beginning. All three of them were together, but all three of them are different. They are distinct in nature. Okay, so this image helps me understand. When you look at this upside down triangle here, you see that the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. But they are all God. God in three persons, each having a different role, a different function. And I know with our finite brains looking at reality of space and time, that's kind of hard for us to fully grasp, right? Even to begin with, that God always existed forever and always, like my brain's broke on that one. But to see that God is three persons in one, there's this holy Trinity that has existed and forever will exist. So each part of the Godhead has their own distinct role and function, and they're perfectly together in unity. And there's so much wonder in seeing God in three persons, because you see just how immense his love and his power is. And so what I want us to see is the beauty within the Trinity, and that we have been given the Holy Spirit. We have the promised Holy Spirit now today, and we're going to look at that for the rest of our time in John 14. So if you have your Bibles, your apps, or whatever, you can follow along on the screen. We're looking at John 14, and this is the night before Jesus was betrayed and arrested and crucified. And he had a long talk with his closest followers, his disciples, the 12. They were there in that upper room, and they had the last Passover meal, which we know as the Last Supper. And he begins to tell his disciples, "I'm going to go away. I got to go away. And where I'm going, you can't follow." And I'm sure if you're a disciple and you've been following Jesus around for his time of ministry and seeing him do all these amazing things and seeing him bring all these people together, and then he says, "You know, I got to go away. Wait. It's only been 3 years. You're just getting started. What happened?" "No, it's good that I go away, because I'm going to prepare a place for you." And so the disciples were distraught. "Why are you leaving us?" But this is what Jesus, how he responds in John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, obey my commandments." And we're going to see here the Trinity all together in this passage. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate," capital A, "who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives in you, now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live in you and you also live, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, I like the little footnote there, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and I will come, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me, and I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I know that's a little bit longer passage to read, but do you see the Trinity at work in this passage? I just love the fact that Jesus is explaining to the disciples exactly what is going to happen, and we now on this side of the cross know that that's happened. We are sitting here today because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's gone out and the promised Holy Spirit that's gone out. I mean, we're pretty far from Israel last time I checked. And it's pretty awesome to see us gathered as believers because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that the promised Holy Spirit is our advocate and our counselor. This is how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit, as our advocate and our counselor. When Jesus says, I'm going to send you another counselor, another advocate, the Greek word for another in this verse means another just like the first, as opposed to another that is different. So Jesus is basically saying that the one that's coming is going to be just like him. This is not only evidence of the oneness of God, but also the distinct nature of the Trinity. And so Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you. He will be your advocate and your counselor. So imagine Jesus standing next to you as your life coach, as your counselor, telling you, hey, that sin hurts you. Hey, don't forget I love you. Hey, don't forget you're an adopted child of mine. I have a life coach and spiritual director that I meet with once a month, whether I need it or not, and I love it. It's like the hour of power with this guy. He builds me up. He reminds me of God's word. He reminds me of who I am. He challenges me. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are given that advocate and that counselor that guides us in our lives as believers. Now, you might ask, okay, well, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit and not just, you know, a hunch or something I had for lunch? Sorry, that rhymed. And how do we know that? And that's one of the things we're going to unpack as we go through this series. Again, today is not going to be exhaustive in nature. It's going to be, this is high level, but as we unpack this series, we want to see how is it that the Holy Spirit guides me and leads me? How do I know it's him talking to me? How do I know that he's guiding me? But what I want you to know today is that we know that the what Jesus promised is available to us today. And that the Holy Spirit, when he came in power after Jesus ascended to heaven, it set the church ablaze. And it's continued to move in our lives, and we're here today because of that. I don't know if you were at here at Night of Worship, but it was just amazing to be gathered together, believers with the Spirit in us, and it was tangible evidence of God's presence. It's different than a social club. It's different than just a gathering of people. Now, don't ever forget that when we gather together, that something supernatural is happening because of the Spirit in us. You know, and that counselor, you know, I'm standing here today because God has become my counselor and my advocate. You know, I remember about 8 years ago when my son was just born, he's about 6 months old. I some of you remember this, it was my first sermon I ever preached here on Father's Day, and I was able to preach about how God had refathered me because of his word, because of people in my life that had spoke into my life, and I'm grateful for all of you who have been patient with me over the years. I know people in this room that have poured into my life. A friend the other day just texted me and said, hey, just remember, you're God's favorite son. Whew, man, that hit me because, well, there's a lot of people that God loves. But it's awesome to know that he sees me. And so that's what I want to go back to the story about the charismatic church that I was in, right? Now, I'm just saying, this is my experience. You can't argue from experience. And this is descriptive, not prescriptive, in the sense of the Holy Spirit. But what I do know is that I was open to allowing the Holy Spirit to move in my heart. Now, I had accepted Jesus back when maybe I was 11 or 12 because I got this hell scared out of me. But this time it was different. It was a Sunday night service at this very charismatic church. And I remember I felt drawn to the front. I don't know, that's where everybody was going and people were like passing out or something. Thankfully, there was guys in suits catching them graciously. And I just went to the front and I remember thinking, all right, God, if you're real, Holy Spirit, come. Fill me up. Let me experience you. Because you have to know, up to this point in my life, I had gone from broken home to broken home. I had experienced abuse and neglect. I had been in foster care. I ran away from home. I was a mess, suicidal. And here I am, 14-year-old, lanky, tall Nick, just hoping that God would reveal himself to me. And you know what happened? It was like in a moment, the Holy Spirit tapped into my memories and showed me all these places where he had been all along in those dark nights of the soul, that he was there, he was pursuing me, and as C.S. Lewis says, he is the hound dog of heaven, and he won't let you go. And he's got a plan for you. And it was in that moment, it wasn't any like heebie-jeebies or goosebumps or whatever. It was just this sense, this warmth of God's presence, knowing that I had an advocate, I had a counselor that was with me, that would guide me. And I'm standing here on the stage today to tell you that he is alive and he is real and he is working and moving and power. Can you do that in your life as well? And so don't ever think when you're being diligent in your quiet times, when you're getting up, you're saying, God, I'm not hearing anything from you. Know that God is working. The Bible says that that we have an advocate that intercedes on our behalf, that prays for us when we don't even know what to pray. And so as we conclude our time today, I want us to take us back. Let's go back to that place with Jesus in that upper room, because Jesus is here by his Holy Spirit. He's here today. And we want to go back and remember what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to send you the Advocate. And what they did that night is they took the bread and the cup, and Jesus said, I'm going to do a new thing. And we take communion today to remember, if you have your communion cups, this is a representation, this is a symbol of reminding ourselves that the body was broken for us, that Jesus' body was broken for us, that when the disciples had no idea, that he was about to go through the most excruciating death invented for them. That we could have access to the Father, that we could have access to God himself. And it wasn't just the nails or the beatings or the scars that was the worst part of it. It was that the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus so that we could have access today to his presence. And the veil was torn in the temple, symbolizing that access that we have to his Holy Spirit. And so today, as we take communion, know that the Holy Spirit gives us communion with God, not just with elements, but with that relationship that we need, that we desperately need. And so I want to pass on to you what Paul passed on to us and what was given to him in 1 Corinthians 11. It says, "For I pass on to you what I receive from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. In the same way, he took the cup of wine, and after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's take a cup together. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who existed before time with you and with the Holy Spirit, and was crucified before the foundations of the world, and for the promised Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us, that leads us into truth, that convicts us of sin, that comforts us in our time of need. We thank you, God, in all of your glory and your splendor and your holiness. We thank you that you are worthy to receive all honor, glory, and power. And we remember all that you've done and all that you've given to us and all that will be throughout all eternity. Holy Spirit, ignite a fire in our hearts. Let us open our hearts to you, to allow you to have more access to us. We have all of the access to you we need, but Lord, help us yield to your Spirit. We give you the keys to every room in the house of our hearts. Have your way in our hearts. We worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're encouraged by today's message, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help take your next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any social media channels. Thank you for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.